Good morning, Your Honors. David Hughes representing Francesca Peterson. A little over a year ago, Ms. Peterson walked into court looking for more parenting time with her two now teenage sons. Specifically, she was proposing to split parenting time 50-50 with the children's father. What she left with was an order that, as a practical matter, prevented her from having visitation at all. Ms. Peterson ended up in this position because the district court abused its discretion when it made two separate but related findings. First, that visitation had to take place through an organization called Therapeutic Arena, that the cost of the visit of the parenting time at Therapeutic Arena had to be split 50-50, and if Ms. Peterson failed to pay her portion of the costs, her visitation would be forfeited. The second finding of the court in which discretion was abused was that Ms. Peterson would be imputed with an income of $1,386 per month, despite the fact that her actual income was $300 per month. The first area of argument in the brief was that the district court improperly decided parenting time issues based on punishment of the parent. Now, I want to be clear what I mean by punishment. I don't think that the district court had any ill will towards Ms. Peterson. I think the district court was trying to address a difficult decision, but I think the district court got it legally wrong when it used visitation and payment for visitation as a stick to try to influence Ms. Peterson's behavior. Now, there's a number of factors that led to this error. The biggest issue is that the order required visitation through Therapeutic Arena and that Ms. Peterson pay for half of the costs. Now, the practical ability to pay for these types of visits were raised in a motion filed with the court by Ms. Peterson's attorney at the time. At the time there was a hearing on this matter, Ms. Peterson was pro se. But in the response to verified motion requesting court to reaffirm the court's permanent civil protection order issued pursuant to 13-147-102, a huge mouthful, I know, and I can cite the record if you're interested for that portion. It stated that the father is aware that a return to supervised parenting time through Therapeutic Arena results in no parenting time for mother because she is unable to pay the outstanding balance on that account or the $30 per hour fee. Now, the reference to the outstanding balance has to do with the original parenting time order in this case that goes back to 2006, where Therapeutic Arena was the institution that was providing supervised parenting time. And at that time, there was, again, a 50-50 split. But as a practical matter, Ms. Peterson couldn't pay for it. Accrued arrearages in terms of those visits.
It looks like what the trial court was trying to do was to say to mother, we need to have supervised parenting time here. And apparently no one is disputing the necessity for supervised parenting time, correct?
Correct.
What alternative did the trial court have in terms of telling the parties here's how it's got to work and acknowledging that there has to be this intermediary for supervised parenting time? As a practical matter, what could the court do?
Well, I think the court should have made some more specific findings in this case. First of all, the court should have taken some evidence in terms of the cost of parenting time at Therapeutic Arena, whether even Therapeutic Arena would be able to would be willing to consider this arrangement, considering that Ms. Peterson is already in debt to this organization.
Such evidence offered. this is a two-day hearing, as I understand it, but, and Ms. Peterson, I recognize, was pro se, but was such evidence offered?
It wasn't offered by either party in this case. Ms. Peterson was fighting for 50-50 parent, unsupervised parenting time, and frankly, she was surprised when the court ended up going back to this arrangement with Therapeutic Arena. She wasn't, at the time of the hearing, using Therapeutic Arena. If you look at the record, it was CASA that was providing the visitation. My understanding is that CASA is a far less expensive proposition than this these therapeutic visits. So she basically went from one extreme to another without sort of this idea that she was going to have to revert to Therapeutic Arena. So that wasn't offered, but the fact of the matter is the district court didn't make any findings whatsoever about whether those visitations could occur at Therapeutic Arena as a practical matter. And so I believe the district court should have made those findings, and I believe that if there were evidence presented, the district court would have properly made the determination that if supervised visitation had to happen and had to happen through Therapeutic Arena, that father should have paid for it, because as a practical matter, mother couldn't do it, and if she can't pay for it, or you know, even paying some token portion of it, then she couldn't have the visitation that she was requesting.
Excuse, maybe I'm misunderstanding the court's order, but it looks like the court did require father to pay for every other visit. And so the only, instead of being, putting the matter of arrearages aside, the only visitation that mother was being denied would be an alternating visit if she couldn't pay for it. But she would still have visitation paid for by father on an alternating basis. Isn't that not correct?
Well, I went through the record and tried to figure out what the practical effect of this order would be. Would it mean that as a practical matter, father is paying for all of the visitations because she can't provide for them? CASA recommended that the visitations take place twice a month. The court, in its order, left visitation essentially up to therapeutic, amount of visitation essentially up to Therapeutic Arena. But I couldn't tell from a practical matter exactly how this would play out. My concern was the portion of the record that I quoted previously, basically that Therapeutic Arena has indicated that there's an outstanding balance on her account, and that they may be unwilling, once Ms. Peterson doesn't pay for that alternate visit, to allow her to do this at all.
That's speculation, though, isn't it?
It is speculation, but we don't know either way. We don't know that the practical effect of the order is that dad is paying for all of the visits.
Counsel, I understand you weren't there at the hearing, but it appears to me that the trial court was faced with the following decisions. Should I require supervised visitation or not? Court decided, yes, I should. And that's not being contested today. And then the manner of that, the court chose that. And during the hearing, there wasn't any opposition to that. Am I correct about that?
I'm a little unclear what you're asking about. I mean, Ms. Peterson opposed supervised visitation in any form.
Did she further say that, you know, geez, I just don't have the money to do this, so please don't do it through them, or, you know, let's find another way that I might be able to afford?
At the hearing itself,
yes,
she didn't say that.
Okay.
She did file the pleading that I quoted earlier, in which that argument was specifically presented to the court. Whether the court remembered that from the pleadings, you know, that it's not indicated in the transcript of the proceedings. But it was out there for the court's consideration Ms. Peterson, if you look through the transcript, was really focused on this issue of wanting unsupervised parenting time and, you know, was not pursuing the alternative argument that, well, if I don't get supervised parenting time, then it shouldn't be through supervised through therapeutic arena because I can't afford it. And you know, the issue of her income did come up at this proceeding. And she testified that she made $300 a month. That testimony wasn't disputed. And she testified she was unable to find even a minimum wage job, that she had applications at King Soopers and Walmart. They told her she was overqualified. So there's really no finding by the district court judge that, unlike the finding in, like my, what it may well have happened in 2006, that Ms. Peterson could have found some other job and she shirked her responsibilities. And the Campbell case indicates that the court is required to make specific findings when imputing income, and those findings weren't made in this case. So, you know, it really is a combination of factors here. And the district court, while not specifically considering the issue of, you know, how much this was cost, and there was no specific discussion about this, we really are looking at the practical effect of this order. So, you know, and I think what exacerbates the situation here is that the district court not only made these specific findings in terms of the practical effect, but the district court made it clear that its motivation was not taking into the into consideration the best interests of the child, but to motivate Ms. Peterson to change her behavior. Specifically, the district court said that it was splitting the cost of parenting time because the trial court wanted an indication as to how much she wants to parent these kids, how much she is really serious about seeing these kids. And that's about as plain as insight as you can get as to why the district court made the decision the way it did.
But I mean, there's awful lot of it. It's about... was very clear that mother was alienating these kids from father. So that blush has got to be part of the discussion, doesn't it?
Yep, that justifies supervised visitation for some portion of the time. You know, one of the other concerns in this case is the district court basically gave carte blanche in terms of how long this is going to take place. The CASA recommendation said, you know, we should start with supervised visitation and work towards unsupervised visitation because these kids are teenagers. They can't have supervised visitations until they're majority. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Wayne Anderson, and I'm representing the appellee in this case. Dr. Peterson. Your Honor, what this case really boils down to, it appears, is an issue as to, number one, whether or not the court abused its discretion. The court is going to be granted substantial deference in its decision, and ordinarily, the decision of the trial judge is not to be disturbed, and of course, that is tempered by the public policy that it is in the best interest of children to have some continuing relationship with their mother. And indeed, we don't agree with any of those principles, and we believe that the judge and the history of this case will show that the decision to limit mom's contact with the children was in the children's best interest. It was not an abuse of judicial discretion. And finally, that the court took pains to find a way that would allow this mother to see her children. So first off, the discretion is discretion of the court is a significant issue. I'll address some of the other specific issues that came up, but first I want to digress a little bit, and the court has already made mention of this. This is a case that's been going on for years and years. I think that there's the assertion that, well, there weren't specific findings made in this case with regard to certain issues. However, I think that at the very beginning, if the court, I'm sure the court reviewed the record, Ms. Peterson said, well, I want to make my opening statement. And the judge says, Ms. Peterson, you don't need to make an opening statement. I'm familiar with this case. I know this case. I know the parties. And in fact, the record also shows that even prior to our hearing, the judge says, okay, what I want to hear from is I want to hear from the children's therapist when we go to court. I want to hear from CASA. I want to hear the CASA report and see the CASA notes. Now, by way of description, the issue of CASA came up. And CASA is an acronym for a court-appointed special advocate. Court-appointed special advocates have several roles, and one of those roles is to monitor supervised visitation. The problem with CASA is obviously they have their hands full on most occasions. And as the therapist said, Joyce Miller, this is the kind of supervision that requires ears and eyes on. And even the CASA representative said, we can't do that. And the CASA volunteer, or the CASA person that testified, indicated that there had been issues, even during the CASA visitation, where mom would go over the boundary and start talking about things that she should not have been discussing with his children. It's a terrible case. Judge Martinez said, this is a very, very easy case from a legal standpoint, but it's a very, very difficult case from a human standpoint because these boys, as one of the therapists indicated, the children are in a war zone. I think the evidence is pretty substantial in that regard. But it's also important to remember that this is a motion for modification of parenting time as well as child support. Hence, the burden is on the respondent in this case, Ms. Peterson, to show there has been a substantial and continued change in circumstance that would warrant a modification of the parenting time and the child support as well.
So, yes. You do not dispute, do you, that the actual order that was entered by the trial court says that if mother cannot pay supervised.
That is what the judge said.
Or any case, statute, how's a court?
I am not aware of any case that allows the court to condition the visitation on payment, but I think that if the question is presented or the issue is presented in a different way, is first off, it's to say, mom, you have the ability to work, and you're going to have to go to therapeutic arena. Therapeutic arena charges money. We expect you to pay. And I think that the discussion there was more to the point of, mom, you have not shown any initiative in this case with regard to your children. You've shown no initiative as far as going into therapy. You have shown no initiative at all, and I expect to see some initiative.
Despite that.
Yes.
Standard that has to be employed is best interests of the child, isn't it?
True. It is.
And where in the trial court's order does the court talk about the best interests of the children in terms of parenting time?
I believe that the court talks about that in both of the cases, and certainly there is a carrying over. I think the court specifically talked about what the kids had gone through. At one point, in fact, during the...
But even the therapist testified that parenting time to the mother was in the children's best interest.
They did. And in each one of those cases where they testified on that issue, and as it was reported in the brief, the opening brief of the appellant, each one of those was conditioned. It says it is in the best interest of the children to have some contact with the mother. But following that statement, there was this big but. But, Mom, you have to learn boundaries. Mom, you have to understand that what you're doing is not good for these kids. And so it was just a conditional, Mom, you need to get it right. And until you get it right, you're continuing to hurt these kids, to alienate these kids, and, quote, put these kids in the middle of a war.
Well, that was the purpose for the supervised visitation, which apparently no one disputes was inappropriate. But right. I guess the question is, can the court rest a mom's right to visitation when she can't pay for it? I mean, what does the court do?
I don't know. I'm sure that issue has not been decided. I don't know whether that is an issue that ought to be specifically addressed in this case. And the reason I say that is there was no evidence that mother did not have the ability to pay. I don't see that as an axe hanging over her head that was significant to the extent that it was going to deny her support. In fact, as you said, or as the court pointed out, this would only take away every other visit. So she is going to have the visitation. Secondly, as the record pointed out, or as Mr. Peterson testified in his during his testimony, that the obligation to Therapeutic Arena turned out to be a joint obligation, and he had complained to the court that because she hadn't paid in the past, he owed Therapeutic Arena about $600. So
also, you said, I'm sorry to interrupt, you said there was no evidence that mother could not afford to pay,
well,
but I think there's evidence that she...
There was evidence that she was only making $300 a month. That was her testimony. Your Honor, I would ask you to also look at her, what, at that point, she said, well, I only made about $300 this month. If you look back, there were specific findings made during the 2006 hearing, and of course, we have to look at that hearing to see if there is a substantial and continued change of circumstances today. And the court said, essentially, you're not trying. And I think it's also important that nowhere in her pleadings nor in her argument did she maintain that she did not have the financial ability to pay. In fact, when asked about her rent, she said, I manage. The testimony shows that she is educated. She came out here initially because she wanted to get into the aerospace industry. She had education in that regard. She testified extensively about her education, her continuing education, her volunteer work, and she also testified concerning her physical health when she said, you know, I fly a plane, I can sail a boat, I can take the kids on a camping trip into Wyoming or Montana and cook a tinfoil dinner for them. The point is she is well educated, she has no physical limitations, and based upon that, the court earlier made specific findings and said that she was capable of making, in 2006, $8 an hour.
So, Mr. Anderson, other than looking at the 2006 findings, are there any findings that relate to this point in time that the court made, or are we just looking at the 2006 findings and the testimony and making our own findings?
Well, I think that we can take a look. I think inferentially you can look back, and secondly, essentially the judge, who is the judge then, is saying, I have already heard this case, I'm familiar with this case, and essentially, in my mind at least, he is putting us on notice that he is taking judicial notice of the things that transpired in that earlier case, that he had considered all of those facts that were before the court at that time, he had made his decisions, and now the burden shifted over to the respondent to say, Judge, there has been a substantial and continuing change of circumstances. had the issue been finances, which was never raised at the trial level, then the judge could have said, okay, show me what you have done. Show me what you have done that changes the circumstances from 2006, or what has happened since 2006 that changes that circumstance.
Pardon me for interrupting, Mr. Mayor. If the purpose of the supervised visitations was because mother was alienating the children from father, how does requiring her to pay for those visits further that goal?
I think that the requirement for mom to make those payments, which were nominal, was a shout out from the bench saying, mom, you haven't taken any ounce of responsibility in this case. You haven't gone to the therapist as you were required to do. You haven't done A, B, C, and D. Ma'am, you come here after 4 years and nothing has changed.
But doesn't that argument there support what counsel for mother has just said, that this was designed to be some sort of incentive to get her to put some skin in the game, as opposed to really trying to benefit the kids and keep her from trying to alienate them from their father?
Again, I'm not exactly sure that I understand the question, but generally, and maybe I'm repeating myself, that even if we strictly applied that standard and they said, okay, mom, you don't have the $15 or the $30, you'll have to come back next week when it's dad's turn. So there isn't that degree of total separation, severing of the parental relationship. And again, even on that note, the court said, you guys are going to have to work this out with Therapeutic Arena as far as coming up with a schedule that meets their schedule and our schedule. So I don't believe that I believe the reference to mom, you've got to pay, was to instill some sense of responsibility and put, as you said, Judge, have her put some skin in the game, because so far she had put no skin in the game, and she had continued in her alienating behavior that had committed harm to the children. And secondly, I think the court understood, okay, she is going to continue to have the parenting time with her children, so the children are going to see their mom. And it is in the best interest, we agree, for the child to see the mom. Then the question is, how do we execute that? And I think the court's decision was, we execute that by putting them in Therapeutic Arena, which was the only viable alternative, and incidentally, which was the very same order that continued from 2006. So there was no change there. But now, because dad had been paying everything, she says, okay, mom, you got to put some skin in the game, and you have to pay for at least every other one of these visits. And I think, though it's not stated there, it appears from all the evidence that mom does have education. She's got training, she's got skills, and she has the physical ability. And I think the judge was disappointed in her actions in that regard, too. Partly, I'm sorry, my time is up. Yeah, you asked some questions, but if there are any other questions the court would like to address, I'll certainly try to answer. Thank you, Your Honor.
And remaining to use it.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just a few points I'd like to emphasize. I agree with Judge Bernard that the point that counsel was making, that the message that the judge was sending was, you've shown no initiative or you haven't taken responsibility, goes to the issue of the order was based on the parents, was an attempt to motivate the parent, not an attempt to address the best interests of the children. This issue of the 2006 hearing, I don't think that we can go back to 2006, go back 6 years and rely on what happened at that hearing, especially when it comes to imputed income. The district court specifically stated that it had concerns about Ms. Peterson's ability to find a job, even at minimum wage, based upon her mental state. And mental incapacity is one of the specific exceptions for imputing income. And finally, I just, back to this interest, the best interest of the children, and a question that Judge Boris asked me the first time around about the alternating visits. Even assuming that, that one visit per week could occur because dad pays for that visit and mom doesn't, the question still is that in the best interest of the children? If CASA or Therapeutic Arena says visits should take place twice a week, and because she can only pay for one, she only gets to do that once, that is not the best interest of the children in this case. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you both for your arguments this morning. This case will stand submitted. We will get you a written opinion in due course.